considerations in drawing closer to the Lord. In part one, last week, we talked about doing away with hindrances. Doing away with hindrances. And from 1 John, we talked about all the different things that God says don't belong in the Christian's life. He says, you say you have fellowship with me, but you walk in darkness. He says that's a deception. That's a lie. And we must walk in the light as he is in the light so that we can have fellowship one with another. And so we saw a number of things that 1 John brings up that don't belong. They're incompatible. They're mutually exclusive. And in our lives, things of darkness, sinful things, they don't belong. We also saw a disdain for others. He that hateth his brother, Jesus said, or the word of God there says, is in darkness and is deceived. Also, the Bible challenges us in chapter 2 of 1 John to not love the world. Worldliness doesn't belong. In fact, God makes it so clear. He says, you can't love the world and love God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't have a love for the world in you and a love for the Father. The two are mutually incompatible. And so we talked about pruning, doing away with hindrances. And the Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 2 says, every branch in me, every branch in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so God wants to mold us and to take things out of our life that don't belong, things that are a hindrance. There are sinful things, as Hebrews 12:1 talks about. There are things that are sinful, but there's also things that are just a weight that need to be taken away. Last week, we talked about the horticultural example of pruning a tree, and from this forestry board article here, talked about the importance of pruning your trees, and why is it important to prune your tree? Well, for the benefit of the whole tree. We talked about the health of it. It's important to remove dead, damaged, or diseased branches, or to remove suckers, things that are they're erratic, they don't belong. And so for the health of the tree, so that the other branches can grow properly, the tree needs to be pruned. And then the article talks about removing codominant leaders, that you can't have two leaders. It's not healthy for a tree to have two leaders. And we talk about in our lives, it's a split focus. The Word of God says you can't serve two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll despise the one and hold to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The article talked about safety. It's important for a strong tree structure for there to be good pruning, and it gave some details on what to look for and to trim off weak branches or poorly growing, misplaced, erratic branches. And then also for a pleasing appearance, it's important to prune so that you take care of those erratic and misplaced branches, so that you have a pleasing appearance. And certainly in the Christian's life, it's not all about appearance, but it is about, well, it is. It is, in a sense, it's about pleasing the Lord, not just pleasing others, not just looking good on the outside, but really pleasing the Lord, having a pleasing appearance to God. And that's an important part of pruning spiritually, is pleasing the Lord. And then balance was another aspect of this horticultural article. Pruning, for balance, pruning can stimulate tree growth in sparse areas. Pruning can also restrict growth where too much growth is undesirable. And so there can be a balance. And so true in our lives. We need to have a balance. And there are some things we need to cut back on or cut out altogether. And there are other things that need to get more sap. And so by trimming things that are snitching sap, we can help other branches receive more sap. And so important pruning aspects. And so as we draw closer to the Lord, without a doubt, God is the great husbandman. He's the great gardener, the great caretaker of the vineyard or of the orchard or however the example would go. And Jesus said, "My Father is the husbandman." And Jesus is the trunk, the vine, and we are the branches. And what kind of a branch are we? And so it's important for us to recognize how God wants to prune our life so that we can bring forth more fruit. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit," in other words, has a little fruit, "he purges it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit." No one knows better what needs to change than God does. And as we listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, God will show us what needs to go, what doesn't fit, what is stealing the life of the good branches or of the good aspects of our Christian life. Secondly, as we think about drawing closer to the Lord, not only do we need to do away with hindrances to prune, but we need to direct aright our hearts. Direct aright your heart. This is our focus. All right? What is the focus of our heart? It's very important that we direct aright our hearts. Please notice what a father says to his son in Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Let's read it together, all right? Proverbs 23:19. "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Proverbs 23:19. Guide thine heart. Here's the father speaking to his son, and he says, "Hear, my son, you need to listen up, and be wise, and guide your heart." Guide your heart. The world says, follow your heart. But God says, guide your heart. We'll have a tragic case of a crash, a derailment, if we follow our heart. Our heart will lead us to fleshly places, to the heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We cannot follow our heart, but we must guide our heart. Our heart needs to be guided. We need to choose to love the right things. We need to choose to focus on what is honoring and pleasing to God. That needs to be the purpose of our life. And so we're talking about directing our heart. Direct aright your heart, our focus. What are we going to focus on? We need to focus on the things of God, on doing the will of God. Notice what Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 says. Notice with me together. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Colossians 3, 1 and 2. So God calls us here to seek the things that are above, not the things on this earth. Where should our focus be? And then he tells us how to direct our affection. He says, set your affection. This is a command. To set our affection on things above. not on things on the earth. We need to recognize that the things of God are what should grab our attention. The things of God are the things that should be our focus, not the earthly things. Seek ye first, the Bible says in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The food, the clothing, the shelter, all of these things, the needs of our life. But if we put first God, his righteousness, his kingdom, that is what's important. And so we are called to guide our hearts, to set our affection. Affection is our love. Did you know that? Affection is our love. And God says you need to guide, you need to direct, you need to set your affection on things above, on the things of God. And that's why the local church should be important to us, right? That's why the Bible should be important to us. That's why prayer should be important to us. That's why godly living should be a priority in our life. That's why obedience is important. And you go on and on of the important things there. Because we need to set our affection, we need to guide our heart to love the things of God. 1 John tells us in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, love not the world. That's not talking about the people of the world, but it's talking about the worldliness of the world. Behind the words here, I have a picture of, I believe, the city of Las Vegas. And you know, Las Vegas is filled with a lot of worldliness, wickedness, the things of this sinful world. But you know what? God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. That stuff's not of God. It's not of the Father. It is of the world. It's the wickedness of the world. It's the lustful desires of the world. It's the, you know, what looks good to me, and whoa, that really excites me. And God says it's of the world. It's wicked. It will pass away. Verse 17, the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but. What should be our focus? But he that doeth the will of who? God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So let's get this straight. God wants us to direct our heart in the right way, that we would set our affection, that we would love not, but that we would love the right thing. Love God. Set our affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. And it's really the best plan, because the things of this earth will fade away. They pass away, it says. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's something eternal about God's will. There's something that endures the test of time. When you choose to follow God, when you choose to direct your heart and to obey the Lord, God calls us many times in the Word of God. But here I have the Gospel of Mark. God calls us to love Him. In fact, it's the greatest commandment, that we would love God. Love God. That's the greatest command in all of the Word of God, is that we would love Him, that we would love the Lord. Notice what it says, Mark 12, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, say it with me, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Wow. With all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. God calls us, our complete person, the entirety of our being, who we are, what we are, our energy, our strength, our thoughts, our love, our very soul, God says needs to love Him. To love Him. Everything that we are. You see, if we're going to draw closer to the Lord, there's some pruning that needs to be done. But there's also a focus that needs to be heeded. God calls us to focus on Him, on the things of heaven, not on the things of this world, on the things that are eternal. God calls us to focus on loving Him with everything that we are. Please consider this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Notice, if you will, together, I'll read it. The Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is focused, healthy, really focused on that which is wholesome. The word single has the idea of health or wholesomeness, all right? Or oneness, a singular focus. All right, so the Bible says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the idea here is divided. A divided focus. Corrupted. Diseased. That's the idea of evil. All right? If thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We're talking about focus. Do you know the interesting thing is that this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, these two verses, the very verse that comes next is the verse, ye cannot serve two masters. The very next verse, ye cannot serve two masters. And the verse right before it is the verse that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so sandwiched in the middle of where your treasure is, and you cannot serve two masters, we have the singular focus, which is light-giving and life-giving. Notice this. It says, thy whole body shall be full of light. So when we have directed our heart towards God, focusing on the things above, and really giving ourselves to love the Lord and not the things of this world, that's a healthy focus. Honoring God, seeking first His kingdom, and that's what's important. That's what's going to make 2018 a good year, a growing year, a productive year in terms of Christian growth and Christian maturity and growing into the likeness of Christ, is if we have a single eye. A single eye. Our whole body will be full of light. But if we have the double eye, the wandering eye, the diseased eye, God says, the light that be in us will be darkness. And how great is that darkness? So stay wholesomely focused on the things of God. The Bible instructs us in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, keep thy heart. The idea of keeping is to guard it, to guard the heart. So we've been instructed to guide our heart, but now we're instructed to guide our heart, to keep our heart, to protect it from evil influences. We cannot participate in evil things and escape without damage. You see, if we give ourselves to evil things, if we watch evil things, if we listen to corrupting things, it affects us. It affects us. And so God says, keep thy heart. In the olden days, cities usually had walls around them. Big walls would go all around the city, and there would be gates at the entrances, at the roads, at the paths. There would be gates, and those gates would be guarded. And sometimes those gates would be closed, especially at nighttime. They would be closed. Why? To keep out danger, to keep the citizens inside safe. It was a protection, and God says, keep thy heart with all diligence. This is a serious matter. God says, you need diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the inner part of your being, out of your heart, are the issues of life. That's why it's so important that we stay in God's Word. I wrote down just a litany of points here of ways that will help us guard our heart. Stay in God's Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Yield in obedience to the Lord, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Tithe of your increase. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Matthew 6 verse 20 tells us that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Cultivate a tender heart. Psalm 139 verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Remain faithful in your church. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Keep your heart. You see, staying in God's Word, continuing in prayer, yielding in obedience, tithing of your increase, cultivating a tender heart, remaining faithful in your church, turning away from corruption. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22 says, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lusts. We need to flee corruption. The Bible says, serve in the body of Christ. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Serve in the body of Christ. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, we've talked about pruning, doing away with hindrances, And today we talked about focusing, guiding our heart. We cannot follow our heart, but our heart must be guided. My son, guide thy heart in the way. What will be the direction of your life? Will you allow God to prune that which is a hindrance out? Will you give it to God and let Him take it so that the sap of the Lord can nourish the healthy, the God-honoring portions of your life? And will you direct your heart aright? That your focus would be on the things of God, not on the things of the earth. That you would love not the world, but love the things of the Lord. That you would seek first His kingdom and guide your heart aright. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the challenge to us. And we recognize that these are important foundational truths. To avoid shipwreck and to nurture health and fruitfulness. Lord, I pray that each of us would take heed to Your word. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. It's important for us to not neglect what You have spoken, but to yield ourselves to You, to rest in Your word and to obey Your voice. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.